evening. What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Hey, friends. Welcome back to another episode of The Amber Bay Show. I'm so glad because I have my friend Alex Newman joining me today, and we are going to be talking about where education comes from. The books that we use today, the curriculum, the Common Core, where does that come from? So we talk about that today, and we also talk about some of the demonic things that go on in Hollywood, and that's on today's episode. So I hope you'll please like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please become an angel investor, and the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com and hit the donate button. You could also be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. Hey, if you believe in the freedom of speech, then why don't you switch your cell phone to Patriot Mobile. And when you use patriotmobile.com/Amber, you're going to get free activation. They support organizations like we believe in, and they help support veterans and first responders. So you can ditch the woke mobile and you won't have to fund them anymore. And you can have a wonderful nationwide coverage with 5G coverage, just like you get at the big three mobile. And you can use that money instead of funding the left. You fund organizations that believe in free speech, organizations that support first responders and veterans. So make the switch today and go to patriotmobile.com/Amber and save on free activation. Well, I always add more content. Join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. I'm on True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, or Clout Hub. You can find me there. I'm also under DJ Amber May under X. So if you want to find me there, great. Well, without any further ado, I'd love to welcome Alex Newman to the program. I'm so excited to welcome Alex Newman back on the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me, Amber.
You know, one of the things that you are very passionate about is educating kids. Like, where did that start? Where did that come from?
Well, it began when I realized what was happening. This was over a decade ago. I started digging into Common Core. Well, this was well over a decade ago now. This was before Common Core was even very well known. And realized that this was the issue to end all issues. Mm. If we got the Common Core, if we got education wrong, we were going to lose on every other battle. And so that led me down a path of doing more research. I wrote Crimes of the Educators with Dr. Samuel Blumenfeld, who spent 60 years of his life on this and recognized that this was the most important issue, bar none, because all the other issues depend on this one.
Like, if you go back into the Common Core history, doesn't it go to somewhere about Lucifer Publishing or something to that degree?
Yeah. So I've got a lot of that history in my new book, Indoctrinating Our Children to Death.
Yes.
It's very obvious and at this point, transparent effort to globalize education. And so there's several different threads here. Bill Gates of Hell went over to UNESCO headquarters. This was back in 2004. To sign an agreement with them. UNESCO is the UN's education agency, that they were going to create global standards, global curricula, global teacher training standards and programs, and also the technology to implement it all. And in tandem with that, the UN was working on something that they called the World Core Curriculum. So these are at least officially separate tracks, but what happened is the Common Core ended up aligning America's educational standards with international standards. And that's not my opinion. They actually brag about this. I've got the advertisements that Bill Gates and his buddies bought to tell us how great Common Core was. And they're bragging that this is going to align American education with international standards. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, you have Robert Mueller, the Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations, creating the World Core Curriculum. And this was a little bit before Bill Gates even came on the scene as sugar daddy for education reforms. And he was a guy who was pretty open about his absolutely outrageous religious beliefs. So he believed, for example, that the UN was the body of Christ, and it basically a pagan New Ager using occasional Christian language to conceal it. And he wrote in the foreword to the teacher's manual for this World Core curriculum, which he, by the way, said should be taught to every child in every school on the entire world. He writes in the foreword that it's actually based on the teachings of Alice Bailey, who is the founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company, and the Tibetan teacher Jeval Kul, who's not Tibetan or a teacher. This is one of the demons that Alice Bailey was communicating with. She called them ascended masters. She said she was channeling these spiritual entities called ascended masters. The Tibetan was the chief of them, Jeval Kul. And I mean, it's quite obvious that we're dealing with demonic forces here. Lucifer Publishing was kind of a dead giveaway, but what the demons had to say to you. I actually got some of her books. I wonder if I have them within. Well, here's one of them right here. So happen to have it handy. Education in the New Age by Alice Bailey and her demons. And
look at that icon on there. See that icon, the triangle? I mean, gosh, wow, they even used the icon too, not only for the New Age. I mean, gosh, they don't hide anything anymore, do they?
Nope. And she quotes very extensively in here the Tibetan, right? This demon that she was talking to. Very, very extensively quoted in here. And actually says that really the purpose of this education needs to be to create world citizens, right? So in Alice Bailey and her demons worldview, they're going to be headed toward this wonderful new age, this new world order, where basically as soon as Bible believing Christians are eliminated, everybody's going to live happily ever after. We're going to have this evolution of consciousness and all the rest of it. And I think a lot of her naive followers don't realize that this is actually straight out of the pit of hell. And it's not going to end well for anybody, but so they're going after the children, right? Very, very clearly. At this point, they don't even hide it anymore. If it wasn't obvious yet, hopefully all this will make it obvious.
My gosh. Yeah. And then they changed the name somewhere along the line from Lucifer Publishing to, I don't know what it was after.
It's the Lucius Trust now.
Lucius yep. Trust. Lucius. Yep. Yes.
And that's you can find it online. Yeah. It's Lucius Trust. And so Alice Bailey was very, very influential. She was a disciple of Helena Blavatsky, another occultist. She was from Russia. And I mean, they basically take the biblical story and reverse it, right? Helena Blavatsky was pretty open about her views in her understanding of the world. Lucifer, Satan, is the good guy. So Jehovah, God, the one that Christians know as the creator of the heavens and the earth, he had actually imprisoned Adam and Eve in this terrible garden. And kept them in ignorance. And then Lucifer, the light bearer, came to bring us the light, bring us knowledge. And so in their worldview, Lucifer is the good guy. Lucifer is the liberator who brought us knowledge and so on. And this is a thread that really runs through the left. It runs through the highest echelons of the education world. And there are many of these, right? Alice Bailey is, of course, one example. Robert Mueller is an example. But even here domestically, the lady that the George H.W. New World Order Bush administration hired to start working on the national standards, even before Bill Gates and all the rest of them came on the scene. Her name was Dr. Shirley McCoon, and she also, surprise, claimed to be communicating with these ascended masters, these demonic forces. And she wrote a book called The Light Shall Set You Free with a co-author. And it's the same thing. They're talking to these demons. These demons are promising that the world is going to just be wonderful. We're going to evolve our consciousness. It's just going to be great. The big obstacle, of course, is these fundamentalist Christians are so annoying with their Bible and insisting that Jesus is the only way. You know, and some of them will pay lip service to Jesus or the Christ mind or, you know, things like this. But they're not talking about the Jesus Christ of the Bible. So it's... very, very dangerous. I mean, you know, people think, especially non-Christians, people who've been brainwashed to see the world through a materialist lens, they think that's just all silliness, goofiness, you know, these weirdos thinking they're talking to spirits. No, this is real, 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 real. I mean, this is genuine. This is real stuff. But a lot of these people are deceived about the nature of who they're talking to. Some of them think they're talking to their ancestors or dead people or ascended masters. And yet the Bible's crystal clear on this. These are demonic entities. Mm-hmm. And it's called an abomination is how God describes any communication with these entities. So,
yeah. And so this lady was in charge of, did you say she was in charge of the education department under George H.?
Well, she was brought on to start working on the national standards. And so George H.W. Bush actually trotted her out in front of all 50 state governors. He held a governor's meeting to deal with the education issue. And he trotted her out and she gets up there and tells them that, hey, we're making fundamental change. We're fundamentally transforming our society. We're restructuring everything about society. So we're making predictions about what's going to happen in 40 or 50 years, what the world is going to need. And then we're going to work backwards from there. And she says, we're using the social change function of schools to prepare the children for this new era that we're going into. And of course, this is all, again, diabolical, straight from the pit of hell. Not mm-hmm. that necessarily all these people realize it. I think some of them really do mm-hmm. see themselves as light workers and whatever. But it's all clearly demonic. And anybody who reads their Bible will be able to see that.
Well, yeah, especially when they're saying they're talking to these spirits. I mean, my gosh, if I was in a corporation like that, I don't know that I'd want those people to be working for me any longer. If they are interacting with demonic spirits, no way. I don't want that. I don't need the stress. I don't need the drama that comes along with that. It's not hard to believe because of all the things we've learned over the years, but it is hard to believe. It's like one of those things, like the more you know, the more you're like, seriously, that is happening right now. You know, like the president's getting advised by people who speak to demons. But then again, look at who Zelensky picked as an ambassador, Abrima Abramovich, a witch, a spirit cooker, someone who talks to the devil on a regular basis. I mean, this is who he picked for his ambassadorship. It's just like so in your face now. It's even hitting the millennials, Alex, where now the millennials are like, I think this is a spiritual battle. People who would never have like wanted to dip their toe into politics, who could care less about politics, but they're seeing more and more of this good versus bad. And it's even hitting them. It's gotten to that point in our country.
Yep. And this demonic stuff is absolutely everywhere. Yeah, Marina Abramovich is a very good example of that. Of course, we got the leaked emails where John Podesta was inviting Hillary Clinton over for a spirit cooking session. Of course, anybody who knows about spirit cooking, this is a ritual. They mix various body fluids together. I won't get into details because it's nasty. And then they paint on the walls. They paint these messages and they summon spiritual entities, which, of course, mm-hmm. Obviously demons. And this is ubiquitous now throughout our society. And Alice Bailey talks some about this, the externalization of the hierarchy, where the whole world is eventually going to be inducted into these occult things that used to happen behind closed doors. Black Lives Matter is another really good example, right? I've got a Zoom call with Patrice Cullors on video. I've got her talking about the spiritual entities that she's communicating with. She says they're resurrecting spirits. Founder of the Los Angeles chapter, who's on the Zoom call with them, talks about the spirits she's talking to. She said she laughs a lot with Waukesha, one of these spiritual entities. So this is really ubiquitous. And for centuries, it's kind of been hidden behind closed doors, right? It's stuff that these people don't really talk about in public, but now they're becoming much more open. I just did an episode of my weekly radio show, Behind the Deep State, and I played a bunch of clips of very famous musicians and actors talking about how they sold their soul to Satan.
Can you play any of that for us? Because that would be very fascinating.
Yeah, let me pull it up.
Wow. It's unbelievable. So like this lady from Black Lives Matter, she's telling you the name of the demon that she talks to.
Yep. Let me pull that up. I just used it in a speech that I gave in a sermon I preached yesterday at a church in Idaho. So let me pull that up real quick and I'll share it for folks.
That's incredible. Like that they're not ashamed of this. I mean, we're ashamed. The sad thing about being a believer in Christ, like so many believers are afraid to share the gospel with somebody, but these people are not ashamed of saying how they're talking to demons. I'm like, really? Are you serious? Wow. Yep.
It is bad. So here, So here is Patrice Cullors talking about her demons.
Hashtags are, for us, are way more than a hashtag. It is literally almost resurrecting a spirit so they can work through us to get the.
So the spirits are going to work through her.
That we call on regularly, right? Like each of them seems to have a different presence and personality. You know, I laugh a lot with Waukesha, you know.
Laugh a lot with Waukesha. Yeah, very bad idea.
yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. And so here, I'll get you also some of the. All right.
A common tool of the deep state is to weaponize art and devil horn signs at the Super Bowl. Yeah. So there's some upside down cross, which, by the way, is a well-known satanic.
So here, for the folks watching, this is Taylor Swift, one of her recent videos.
Because if you dare, you see the glare of everyone you burn just to get there. It's coming back.
Yeah. Nice devil.
Yeah, and there's so much of this. But here's Bob Dylan, who is just terrible. But here is him talking about how he sold his soul to Satan. Let's see. All right, here we go.
Our clip.
You're still out here doing these songs. You know, you're still on tour.
I do, but I don't take it for granted.
Why do you still do it? Why are you still out here?
Well, it goes back to the destiny thing. I mean, I made a bargain with it, you know, long time ago, and I'm holding up my end.
What was your bargain?
To get where I am now.
Should I ask who you made the bargain with?
with the chief commander.
On this earth?
In this earth and in a world we can't see.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AmberMay.
Hey there, I'm Darren.
And I'm Randy.
We're from Patriots with Grit, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Check it out.
Hey friends, are you looking for a financial planner you can trust? Well, look no further than EPS Wealth Management. I work with a wonderful team of individuals, and my part in the team is the marketing director and one of the insurance professionals. Our investment strategy works in an up or down market, and actually works harder for you in a down market. So we have an income-based approach versus a growth-only approach. If you are interested in a strategy that's going to work harder for you, even in a down market, are you looking at holding some gold and silver? Well, look no further than EPS Wealth Management, because we can lock in some great pricing for you and have it shipped right to your house hassle-free. How would you like to have a pension income for life? It's a great complement to income-based investing in the stock market, and the whole thrust is more income in retirement than you need and can easily spend so you can do the things you've always dreamed of doing and be able to help others in need and leave a legacy for your family. Income also doubles during times of health problems with where long-term care events occur, like dementia, cognitive impairment, having trouble getting in and out of bed. And even if you spend your account down to zero, your basic income will continue as long as you live. So if any of this financial planning is of interest to you, give us a call. Check us out at iloveeps.com. That's iloveeps.com, and let them know Amber sent you.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Yeah, Chief Commander.
It's like the news reporter even knew about that, you know?
Yep.
That he kept having to prompt him. Okay, now tell me, Bob Dylan.
Yep. Now, they all know this, right? I mean, this is very common wisdom knowledge in Hollywood. Here is, what was it? Oh, this was the Grammys. I'm sure people saw that actual satanic ritual.
Oh, that was
on
terrible.
Stage. Yeah, I got Katy Perry talking about how she sold her soul to the devil.
Yeah.
Or we've got that. In a second, I'll show you guys... what's his name? Walter Cronkite, talking about how he is proud to sit at the right hand of Satan. Who's this? Let's see.
Who lives in me. And he says the things that I don't want to say. He was born, just a few months ago. I think he was born out of rage. He was conceived in rage. So he bashes everyone. He threatens to beat people. And he's violent.
That must be nice to have, like, an ignorant loudmouth who you can just sort of blame every...
sometimes they don't want to, and they're, you know, Gaga, we can't get, you know, the frequency's weird, and, you know, it's sounding a little bit strange. And I'm like, if you don't get this right now, I swear to Lucifer, I'm going
to. I swear to Lucifer, right? Yeah. Here's Katy Perry. This is really sad. And how many little young girls has she misled? It's just terrible. Mm-hmm.
I kind of sang about, you know, what was going on in my life at 15, and that's how I got introduced to the music industry. I swear I wanted to be like the Amy Grant of music,
yeah.
But it didn't work out, and so I sold my soul to the devil. I sold my soul to the devil.
Yeah, sold my soul to the devil. And this is really common, right? But, you know, the Bible reminds us that what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but lose his soul? And that's what a lot of these naive idiots in Hollywood and the music industry, they think, oh, I'm going to have fame and I'm going to have money and I'm going to have success. Yeah, and your soul's going to end up in hell, you fool. What kind of a bargain was that? Here, I'll show you also the America's Newsman, right? Walter Cronkite, who was the top journalist for well over a generation.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is. He's actually getting his Globalist of the Year award from the World Federalist Association here.
Their leader, Pat Robertson, has written in a book a few years ago that we should have a world government, but only when the Messiah arrives. He wrote, and literally, any attempt to achieve world order before that time must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan.
Glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan. Yeah, bad idea, Walter Cronkite, and I suspect he knows that now. He has passed on. But for the younger folks, Amber, who may not remember Walter Cronkite, I'll let Hillary Clinton introduce him.
We would like to bring you a message from the First Lady of the United States, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Good evening and congratulations, Walter, on receiving the World Federalist Association's Global Governance Award. For more than a generation in America, it wasn't the news until Walter Cronkite told us it was the news.
All right, so it's not the news until the guy who's proud to sit at the right hand of Satan tells us it's the news. And you know, as people are thinking about all this, just remember what the Bible teaches, right? The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians calls Satan the god of this world.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 John chapter 5, the Bible says that we know that we're from God, but the whole world lies in the power of the evil one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of terms that are used to refer to Satan, like the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of this age. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about that in the church in America. You know, first, we don't want to go to one extreme. Satan, yeah, I can stop sharing now. You know, Satan is not God. He's not a God. He's not a legitimate counterpart or a rival to God. We need to have good theology on Satan. If you want to get details on that, I highly encourage you to check out, for example, the book of Job. You know, Satan actually asked permission from God before he's allowed to do these things to Job. So Satan's not an independent actor who could just do whatever he feels like it. He's a created being. He's going to end up in the lake of fire. And anybody who follows him and does not repent is going to end up in the lake of fire. So this is no joking matter. These people who think it's funny or that it's nice to have fame and money and stuff, they don't realize that this life is just a vapor. Eternity is what comes next. And you really don't want to screw that up.
Yeah, I interviewed a man a while ago. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. His name is Zachary King, and he was a high wizard in the Satanic Church. He actually started life in church and just got really enamored with magic at a young age, and to where he ended up not realizing he was involved in a satanic coven. But then when he did, there was all the pleasures of the world that kept him there. And he worked with the Illuminati to choose who was going to be the big celebrity. And so there would be this place that he would meet these wannabe celebrities, and it depended on what they were willing to do. If they were willing to do almost anything, they could be a celebrity because they would know, i.e. they could sell their soul to the devil.
Yep.
Now, I don't really believe they can really sell their soul because Jesus purchased everyone's soul on the cross. However, they think he can. And if you don't believe in Jesus, obviously you still go to hell, because the only way to heaven is through the eternal life of accepting what Jesus did for us on the cross. But these over and over again, he would talk about people thinking they sold their soul to the devil. Even he thought he sold his soul to the devil.
Yeah.
And he literally had to come to Jesus meeting in a vision, and God just really appeared to him. And at that moment, he gave his life completely over to God. He got so sick also of all the evil and depravity that went along with the satanic church, with all the assisted abortions and things like that. And he even went to the Bohemian Grove, and was there. Mm-hmm. And he would see people like all kinds of presidents and all kinds of CEOs. And he didn't want to he didn't like participating in the child stuff, because he was a victim being in the satanic church of child pornography and sexual assault. And it sickened him that there was people that wanted to do that. And I think that's maybe one of the reasons also that he just got so tired of being a part of the satanic church. Because he, like I said, he assisted in a lot of abortions. He saw a lot of sexual depravity that happened. And when you're just around all that evil, it wears on you, or at least for most people it should, to where you just don't want to do it anymore. At least I hope so.
Yeah.
And now his whole ministry is like teaching people about this stuff, about and helping participate in exorcisms, and saying, hey, you know, this is real. The war, the spiritual warfare is so real. And he was proud at one point to be dissolving churches and destroying churches, because that's what Satan would do. He'd go inside a church and destroy it and shake it up and ruin the church.
Yeah.
But God's bigger than all that. And speaking of Job, like, I've been thinking of Job a lot lately. I just would like your take on this as a fellow believer. You know, we're both parents, and anytime we see our kids suffer, it's super hard, and we just want to make everything better. And yet here we have Job, whom God loved, because God created Job and he loved Job, but yet he allowed Job to suffer, even though he knew there was going to be a greater purpose behind the suffering. Same thing with Jesus, right? Like, do you think it was hard for God to like watch Satan do all those things, even though we know the greater purpose was, it was such a teaching moment for all of us after Job? I mean, we all can refer to Job when we're going through the trials and tribulations. What do you think about that, in that moment when he's watching Satan afflict Job?
Yeah, it's a very, very hard book to study. You know, I've read it to my children several times, and it's hard to explain it to children, and it's hard to explain to an adult. It's hard to explain to a believer. And, you know, Job eventually asked God, like, you know, why? And mm-hmm. God's response is, of course, not what any of us would want him to say. He's, hey, where were you when I designed the snowflakes? Where were you when I, you know, did this and that and the other? And the answer is, well, we weren't even created yet. So, you know, and the long and the short of it is, God's basically saying to Job, hey, you don't even have the right to ask that question, right? It's not your business. That is something that is hidden from you. So, you know, I know that God feels our pain. And actually, when he was incarnated as Jesus Christ and became man, he was tempted like we were. He felt pain like we did. And so he, I think, has a more sympathy and more understanding for the suffering that we go through than any other person ever possibly could. I mean, it's inconceivable that somebody could understand it better. And so I must imagine that it pains God. But I think when you see it from his perspective, which is outside of time, which is an eternal perspective, you know, what's happening here on this earth is just the tiniest little thing, and eternity is a very long time. And so I think from that perspective, it probably doesn't appear quite as horrific as it would from our perspective as, you know, created human beings on this planet trapped in the space-time continuum. So
hey, I'm gonna get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm gonna take a quick break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm here to tell you about my new product from MyPillow, towels that actually work. Watch this absorbency test. Here's another towel that we randomly went out and bought. Here's one of my towels with a nice design. I don't know if you can see this, but you could line a swimming pool with this. I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it. Towels that actually work. What a concept. I'm interrupting this commercial to let you know you can get our six-piece My Towels, regular $69.98, now only $29.98. Or you can save 25% on our brand new kitchen towels made with the same technology as our famous My Towels. Also, we have bath sheets, bath towels, washcloths, hand towels, and so much more. And the best part, with your promo code, your entire order ships absolutely free. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen screen, use that promo code to get deep discounts on all my towels. And for a limited time, your order ships absolutely free.
Hey there, I'm Darren.
And I'm Randy.
We're from Patriots with Grit, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Check it out.
The First Amendment is under attack, but did you know you can help protect your constitutional rights by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative wireless provider that will always support freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and that's why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you can get the same coverage that you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're supporting organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Fund, Concerned Women for America, and more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/amber or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use promo code AMBER at checkout. Join us. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/amber. That's patriotmobile.com/amber or 972-PATRIOT.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Yeah, the good news is for all of our loved ones that have gone before us, like, for instance, my dad died a couple years ago. And for him, when we finally get up there, when I finally get to go see my dad, for him, it's going to feel like he never left Earth, like he just left Earth, even though for me, it's been a couple years since he's gone to heaven. And at least that's the beautiful thing about that. So the people in heaven don't feel sorrowful or have sadness, because they feel like they just got there, so there was nothing really to miss, because now they're experiencing this heaven that they've never seen before, which kind of is that distraction from missing all the loved ones back home. But you know what I think the saddest thing for all the people that don't follow Christ or know about Jesus Christ and have that relationship is when you go to hell, I think this is my personal belief, that the most torture you feel is the loss of the presence of God, because on this earth, this Holy Spirit roams the earth. And even if you're not a believer, you may not even realize it, but you do feel the Holy Spirit at some point, maybe not as strong as like us, right? Because we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but we know there's good and we know there's bad. And if God just took the Holy Spirit away for eternity, I think that would be the worst, because our soul longs to be with God, whether we realize it or not. Once our flesh dies, our soul longs to be with God. But yep. In hell, there's no God. There's no Holy Spirit. There's no goodness. And I think that's the torture, because you knew you had an opportunity on earth. You chose not to want to pursue a relationship with God. And now your soul longs forever, never ending that desire. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and I think it's a really good effort to try to understand hell from our perspective. Right? I think, yes, it is torture, but I think the most horrific thing is it is the total absence of God. And ultimately, this is what people are asking for, right? I mean, that's why they end up in hell in the first place. They are rejecting God deliberately because they don't want him. And so God just kind of gives them their wish. Well, that's what you wanted. Well, here you are. And of course, if God is love, well, what is an existence entirely devoid of love? If God is truth, what is an existence entirely devoid of truth? If God is light, what is an existence entirely devoid of light? And you know how to even process that? It's almost inconceivable. But the total, if God is good, imagine the total absence of good. And I think that's really at least a way to start trying to understand the significance of hell. It is the most horrific thing that one could possibly imagine. And it's a terrifying thought. And I mean, that's what the Bible says. You know, don't fear somebody who can take your life. Fear him who can not only take your life, but also throw you into hell. And it's talking about God, of course. You should fear God and God alone. And the absence of God. I heard an interesting cliche the other day, and I thought about it for a while, and it struck me as really fascinating. It was And for believers, this is the closest we're ever going to get to hell. This life on this planet is the closest we're ever going to get to hell. Mm-hmm. For non-believers, for those who reject Jesus Christ and what he did, this is the closest they're ever going to get to heaven. So it's powerful reminder. And in the end, I mean, if you're choosing Christ because you just, it's like fire insurance, you don't want to go to hell, I don't know that that's legitimate, right? It's not just like, hey, this is your get out of hell free card, you better take it. It's more than that. And it's even more than about just believing in the traditional sense, right? Even the demons believe and tremble, mm-hmm. And yet they're not going to end up in heaven. This is about a total surrender. This is about saying, I want to give up my life and give it to you. I mean, ultimately it's yours in the first place, but I want to give it to you willingly. And that means in this life you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. And all those that we read in 2 Timothy who live righteously in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so for a Holly weirdo thinking, persecution, riches, fame, glory, honor, limousines, private jets. But that's because they're not looking at the eternal perspective and they're not fully comprehending who God is, what he has done for them. It's a terrible, terrible thing.
Even Beyonce talks about this thing called Sasha that comes out of her. Like, it's like she's possessed by this thing called Sasha, where it's her, what does she call it? She calls it her dual personality or something like that. And she just kind of felt, she talks about how it kind of, she felt it come on, and it's nothing like her regular personality. So this is a thing that is really heavily involved in Hollywood, is all these satanic rituals. And just like Zachary King said, if you weren't willing to do whatever, the likelihood of you being a superstar was low. I mean, there's some people that still got to be a superstar regardless of what the Illuminati did, because the Illuminati, at the end of the day, they're just people and they don't have ultimate power, but they do control a lot of influence of Hollywood and political leaders. And speaking of political leaders, you were writing recently about Brazil and how it's become a dictatorship. Explain that to all of us.
So yeah, it's they're basically following the Joe Biden model, and this is an issue that's near and dear to my heart. Of course, I spent a lot of years living in Brazil. I love Brazil. I love the Brazilian people, and basically, they're using the same playbook. They stole the election. They organized a fake storming of the government buildings in Brasilia on January 8th instead of January 6th.
They did?
They call it the January 8th. And now they're using that as the pretext to round up all the dissidents, all the critics, everybody who knows the election was a fraud, everybody who's protesting. They've already taken the passport from the former president, Jair Bolsonaro. They're getting ready to throw him in jail. They're throwing congressmen in jail. They're throwing journalists in jail. They are censoring the internet so that nobody can talk about it. It is actually worse than what's happening in America. And just last week, a whole delegation of Brazilian lawmakers came here. I spoke with some of them, including the leader of the delegation, Deputado Gustavo Gayer, it's Congressman Gayer. And it's horrific what's happening. And a lot of people don't realize who Lula really is, right? Lula, the Marxist dictator of Brazil. He's painted by the fake media as kind of like just a liberal and, all the rest of it. This is a guy who, with Fidel Castro, the mass murdering communist dictator of Cuba, the Sandinistas, the mass murdering communist terrorists out of Nicaragua, and the FARC, the Fuerzas Armadas Revolucionarias de Colombia, the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia. It's a mass murdering Marxist narco-terrorist organization in Colombia. They formed what's called the Sao Paulo Forum. In Portuguese, it's the Foro de Sao Paulo. In Spanish, it's the Foro de San Pablo. And this is a network with their stated objective, according to their documents that were released. This is from back in 1997. They're trying to rebuild in Latin America what they lost in Eastern Europe, namely communism. And they're doing horrific things to accomplish this, not just stealing elections. They're taking oil money from their buddies in Venezuela, using that to rig elections. And Lula actually got caught in some of these shady dealings. He was actually in jail before getting elected. Mm-hmm. He had been arrested because they were looting Petrobras, the partially state-owned Brazilian oil company. And they were using the money they were stealing, not just to build mansions and stuff. He got in some trouble for that, but also to help finance the Socialist Party's victory in the Chilean elections. So this network now, they've got lots and lots of political parties, and their political party members now govern most of the countries in Latin America. Most of the ones that they are not governing, the Foro de Sao Paulo Alliance member is the leading opposition party. And so, you know, the fake media describes this sometimes as the pink tide sweeping over Latin America. I call it the red tsunami. And the worst part, Amber, is that the establishment here in the United States is aiding and abetting this at every step of the way. I did an article about this for The New American. I'm sure you know the Council on Foreign Relations. I call it a deep state headquarters in the United States. Yes. Their top Latin American expert, so-called, her name was Julia Swag. She was the David and Nelson Rockefeller Fellow for Latin American Studies. Was actually a Castro bootlicker. she loved Fidel Castro. So that's what's going on here. The Latin Americans are being enslaved by a network of mass murdering communists, and they've got help from the highest levels of power in the United States, the George Soros, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Obama administration, now the Joe Biden administration. And the U.S. government knows all about this. The CIA knows all about this. The State Department knows all about this. In fact, there was an ambassador who publicly condemned the fact that the U.S. government knows about this and is he said they weren't doing anything about it. Really, they're aiding and abetting this. But he wrote a piece in the Miami Herald about this and said, look, the U.S. government knows all about this crazy network of mass murdering commies taking over Latin America, and they're not doing anything. No, they are doing something. They're aiding and abetting. There's only a few more dominoes left to fall. And of course, eventually they hope to subsume the United States with it as well. So,
but wait, I thought the left was all about getting democracy all over the world.
Well, when you understand what they mean by democracy, yes. You know, the head of the Communist Party USA at the time, John Bachtel, here in the United States, he wrote in 2018 after a trip to China that China has a far better democracy than the United States of America. The kind where you massacre your opponents, right? Mm-hmm. And so what they mean by democracy is something very different than what Americans mean. You know, our founding fathers understood what a terrible form of government democracy actually was. James Madison in Federalist Number 10 explains that democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence. They've generally been as violent in their lives as they are as short in their lives as they've been violent in their deaths. The rights of property are never secure in a democracy, because in a democracy, you just have basically mob rule. And if you can convince 50% plus one of the people that you should kill somebody, you should shut down a newspaper, you should whatever, well, that's what goes, because it's a democracy. So our founding fathers deliberately did not want that. They believed that we needed rule of law, in other words, a republic. And that's what they set out to do. And of course, they understood that the supreme laws ultimately come from God. They quoted very frequently Sir William Blackstone, who wrote the Commentaries on the Laws of England, where he explains that there's two really primary sources of law. There's the revealed law that God reveals in the scriptures, and then there's the natural law that he reveals in nature. And he says all these laws are binding over all human beings, over all the globe, for all time, and no law that is contrary to these should be suffered, because it's not legitimate. So that's what the founding fathers had in mind. But when these Marxists talk about democracy, what they really mean is Marxism.
That's exactly what they mean. Yeah. And Donald Trump's a threat to their democracy. I think it also means a threat to their power, you know? So I think there's definitely what you said. And I think the other flip of the coin would be their power, that Donald Trump is a threat to the communist takeover of the world and to their power. I mean, just like they did with Bolsonaro, did imprison him. They've been doing that over and over again to Donald Trump, over and over again, trying to imprison him or trying to find him guilty of something. And just like all of us, you know, they've been trying to quash our voices that are pushing back against the mainstream narrative. Because I mean, look what they're pushing right now. They're pushing out the fact that a bloodbath, like you're not allowed to use that term in like an industry. Like, man, those were slaughtered like a blood. So Donald Trump's trying to use that term, I think, in the car industry, saying how it was really bad in the car industry. It was like a bloodbath. And now they're trying to turn that on him. And the mainstream media is just like trying to crank out their messaging. Because remember, you just showed us Walter Cronkite sits at the right hand of Satan.
And he's proud of it. Well, he's proud to sit at the right hand of Satan. So, no, I mean, these evildoers need to understand that this is not going to end well for them. They really need to rethink what they are doing, because it is going to end in utter and total destruction for them, probably in the not too distant future. I mean, I'm not a prophet. I can't tell you when things may go down, but this is not going to end well for any of these people. It's just very, very bad idea. Bad thinking.
Do you think the Latin community is pushing back, like we're pushing back here, against their dictators over in Brazil and wherever else? That
I don't think they are. I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of people pouring into the streets to support Bolsonaro, who had the election stolen from him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Brazilian people are in many ways resisting more effectively than Americans. Mm. And so I'm thankful for that. I suspect that's going to continue. Yeah, I mean, it's not the first time Brazil has been faced with a communist revolution that was on the verge of succeeding. In fact, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva's buddy, Dilma Rousseff, she was also a communist terrorist. They even kidnapped the U.S. ambassador back in the 1960s. And they almost were able to take down Brazil. If they had been able to take down Brazil, it's by far the most important South American country. The rest of South America would have fallen as well. They've been very close for a long time. They tried to take over Chile, and they almost succeeded. Phony election. Thankfully, the Chilean parliament begged the military to intervene so that they wouldn't end up like Cuba. And of course, the military did intervene. They created a very pro-liberty constitution, which served the Chileans very well for 4 decades. And of course, led to them becoming by far the wealthiest per capita nation in all of Latin America. But even there, the communist revolutionaries in many cases are in power. They're working now to replace that constitution and bring in a new one. So, it's very real down there, and people are catching on. But the forces that they're facing are powerful.
At CPAC, there was a president from El Salvador, I think, that spoke.
Nayib Bukele, yep.
Yeah, did you hear his speech? I thought it was phenomenal.
I heard parts of it. Yeah, it was definitely interesting. And he certainly has done a good job cleaning up the crime down there.
Yes.
He seems to have a decent understanding of what's happening here in America, too. It's very alarming.
And do you think we're like close to the communist takeover, or do you think... I think we're going to win. Honestly, I really do think we're going to win. But how close do you think we were or are to our country just falling into communism?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I think 2024 is going to be really intense. And I think the outcome, what happens with the upcoming election, is going to be very significant in terms of where the country goes going forward. But I don't think that this is something that one person can save us from. You know, I don't think Donald Trump can step in and fix this. He may be able to hold it back for some time. But ultimately, if we don't get back to the main thing, which is the indoctrination of our children, we're going to lose anyway. It's inevitable. You got 70% of millennials now say they're going to vote for socialists. You've got most millennials now reject Christianity. So only a minority of millennials even identify as Christians. America will not survive. I can say it unequivocally. If we don't deal with the brainwashing of our children, maybe Donald Trump can hold them back 4 more years. Maybe the next guy can hold them back for another 4 years. Maybe we can get some decent people in Congress, hold them back a few more years. But ultimately, it will fall if we don't address the systemic indoctrination, the dumbing down of our kids.
And you're right. Going back to your book, every communist dictator, what did they do? They went after the youth.
Yep.
They destroyed knowledge. They burned books, which in our day and time was taking away our free speech and platforms. And thank God we had some platforms like Rumble and Frank Speech and things like that to help us get our message out. But in modern day, it was all the big social media platforms that continue, and also the newsletters. I don't know about you, but I have been casted out of several newsletters, trying to send out newsletters to my listeners. And as soon as I hit send, they deplatform me on my newsletters. I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
Yep.
So, I mean, so that's the new burning of the books in our time.
Yep.
And you're right. That book is so important, because the parents getting involved in the school board level is critical to getting rid of this Marxist education, which has to do with Common Core. What else do you get into in your book?
My recommendation is that parents immediately remove their children from the government school system. And frankly, I think the whole thing needs to collapse and we need to start over again. We need to mm-hmm. start from the very beginning. You know, what is the purpose of education? What do we want? I don't think the government ought to be involved in it at all, actually. The Bible says the purpose of government is to punish evil, not to educate people's children. Yeah. So just like parents are responsible for feeding and clothing and housing their children, parents need to be seen as responsible, at least primarily, for the education of their children. That doesn't mean they can't delegate that to others if they want to, right? You can hire a tutor, you can send your child to a Christian school, you can send your child to a Jewish school or a Muslim mm-hmm. school or a pagan school or an atheist school, you know, whatever you want. You can homeschool, you can join a co-op, you can, you know, you can do any number of things, but we really need to start from the beginning, start from scratch. And so the end of the book deals with kind of solutions. How do we deal with this? And frankly, when you understand the history of where the system came from, it becomes very obvious that this was the goal all along, right? It's not broken. It's actually working very, very well. If you understand why they created it in the first place, the purpose was always to turn children away from God, away from the Bible, mm-hmm. away from their families. And they've done a very good job of that. So
yes, they have.
We've got to rip it out by the roots and just start over.
What year did that start with the Lucius Trust and the Lucius Publishing Company? Was that in the early 1900s, late 1800s, or was that earlier?
I start the history of public schools with Robert Owen in the early 1800s. He rejected Christianity, but he wasn't, you know, full blown, as far as we can tell, into Satanism, although he was a communist. He wanted to get rid of the family, get rid of private property. Horace Mann, who implemented that system in Massachusetts, similar views. And then John Dewey, you know, a pro-Soviet Union communist maniac, teamed up with the Rockefellers. And then the real occult, and I mean, ultimately, Jesus says, whoever's not with me is against me, right? So mm-hmm. even though they weren't full-blown necessarily into Lucifer Publishing Company type mm-hmm. stuff, you know, they were against Christ. That much is very clear. And so they were all working for the same thing. Now, John Dewey, he and his buddy, John Dewey is kind of like the founding father of the American public school system, is how he's often referred to.
I always remember him from the library, the Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah, different Dewey, actually, Amber.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so John Dewey is very, very notorious. He was the lifetime honorary president of the NEA, the National Education Association, and very, very nefarious individual. And so he and his buddies created a new religion, or what they thought was a new religion. It was called humanism. And they wrote the Humanist Manifesto. And they're really, the premise was communism is good, right? We should change private property ownership. The first tenet was, we religious humanists believe the universe is self-existing and not created, which contrasted with the Bible in the beginning, God created. When you boil it all down, it is basically humans can be their own little gods, right? There is no real God. And so you're God, I'm God, I'll decide what's right. You decide what's right for you. And of course they thought this was a new religion. It's actually the oldest lie in the book, literally, mm-hmm. right? You go back to Genesis chapter 3. That's what Satan said. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So John Dewey's religion was Satanism. He wouldn't have called it that. He called it humanism, but it was Satanism. And then the Supreme Court actually established this as the national religion of the United States back in the early 1960s. In 1962, they kicked prayer out of school. In 1963, they kicked the Bible out of schools. And the justice who wrote the dissent in that case, Justice Potter Stewart, he hit the nail on the head. He said, what they've done here is they established the religion of secularism, quite ironically, under the guise of the First Amendment, which says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. So they basically turned that into the national religion of the United States. They forced us to pay for it with our taxes, and they brainwashed our children to believe it. So it's wickedness writ large. And I don't believe the system could be saved. I think you need to treat the building like it's on fire and your children are inside. You know, you don't talk to your school board. You don't talk to your legislators. You run in the building, you grab your child and you run to mm-hmm. safety as fast as your legs can carry you. And mm-hmm. then you can, you know, go talk to the school board. And I frankly believe school boards are useless, but it's a good opportunity to expose to parents what's going on. So mm-hmm. you know, to the extent that you can use that as a platform to tell others about the fire, you know, excellent. Let's do it.
Well, I'm sure you've heard about the seven mountains of influence and education being one of them. And I think we're supposed to take dominion over that. And so if we have a whole bunch of believers who decide to take over that mountain of influence, then I'm all for that. However, I do believe with what you're saying, and I think we should pull our kids out of school until or if we can fix the system. But in the meantime, we need to get a bunch of believers that sit on that school board and get rid of this terrible, terrible curriculum out of the school and start teaching people that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the Ten Commandments, what's so bad about you should not murder? You should not tell a lie.
One of the problems with the school board approach is that it's just not possible, right? Actually, the lady who wrote the foreword to my book was the most recent superintendent of public schools for Arizona, Diane Douglas. And she spent 4 years at the top of the pyramid trying to make reforms and concluded eventually, as people can read in the foreword here, that it's useless. The system's working as it's supposed to. And so, you know, I'm all about Christians gaining influence and doing what they can. But this is a mountain that shouldn't exist. This is a mountain that should be smashed to a million little pieces. God never intended, God never authorized government to educate children. That was not his design for civil government. God clearly and unambiguously places the responsibility over education and discipleship with parents, with family. Sure. And to the extent that we need help, you go to the church, right? The job of the church is, among other things, to equip the saints. And so, you know, we just need the government to stay out. The government's job is to punish evil. You should be punishing murderers. You should be punishing rapists. You should be punishing thieves. You should not be asking for us to hand over our children to be educated. It's just a bad idea. It's unbiblical. And when you're dealing with something unbiblical, it's like with cancer, right? When people ask me, well, how should we reform the system? It's like asking me how I want to reform my cancer. I don't want to reform my cancer. I want to get rid of the cancer. I want to cut it out, smash it into a million bits and never hear from it again. And that doesn't mean that I don't believe in education. Quite the opposite, like the Soviet Union, right? They had these collective farms. You know, why would you talk about reforming a collective farm? It's a ridiculous institution that never should have been created. It doesn't mean you're anti-farmer or anti-farming, right? We all need food. We all appreciate our farmers who grow food for us. But collective farming is just a stupid idea to begin with, and it doesn't work. And there's no way to reform it to make it better. You just need to get back to God's divine order, which is private property. God's divine order, which is the family is in charge of raising, educating, and discipling the next generation. And I believe Christians absolutely need to be active in the public square. Christians should be running for office. Christians should be trying to get the government back on track. And that very much includes a separation of school and state. And I'm not against Christians serving on school boards. I think it's great if you can use it as a platform to tell everybody this wickedness and to try to save taxpayers money, cut the budget down as low as you can possibly get it until we can completely defund it. But this system needs to be smashed. It's wicked. It's diabolical. And it needs to die.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to read that forward from the lady from my own state. So how do people get in touch with you and get your book? Where should they go?
So the easiest way is Amazon. Honestly, I hate Amazon, but that's the easiest way. You can get it tomorrow for $17.76 free shipping. I can't do free shipping because I don't have a fleet of little trucks out there. I've just got my tiny staff. So but you can order from my website if you prefer. I can send people a signed copy. It's libertysentinel.org/shop. It's been endorsed by we've got Kirk Cameron, we have Alex Jones, we've got Dr. Peter McCullough, General Michael Flynn, Pete Hegseth, the co-host of Fox and Friends, Dr. James Lindsay, all kinds of just really great Americans, G. Edward Griffin, Josh Phillip from the Epic Times, Sam Sorbo, Dr. Carol Swain, Rebecca Friedrichs, obviously the Honorable Diane Douglas, so many great Americans. And even a lot of people who don't necessarily agree with me on all this stuff, like Tina Deskovich, co-founder of Moms for Liberty. She's very much into school boards and stuff, and I appreciate very much what they do. But she was very kind to write an endorsement for the book.
It's okay. We're not going to agree 100% of the time on everything, right? But I think overall we can agree on most of the stuff, right?
Yep. And the history is, you know, it's important. Regardless of what conclusion people come to about what we do about this, people need to know how we got into this mess if we ever hope to work our way out of it. So.
And once again, the book's called?
Indoctrinating Our Children to Death, Government Schools War on Faith, Family, and Freedom, and How to Stop It. And it's available on Amazon. It's available wherever good books are sold. And it's also available through my website if you want a signed copy and don't mind waiting a few weeks.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Alex, so much for joining us this week. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me, Amber. Great to be with you.
Thank you for joining us today on the Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at the Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on the Amber May Show. EBSRA LLC is a registered investment advisor. The information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investment, or investment strategies. Investment involves risk, and unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategies discussed.